I remembered Greenbaum and felt a tremor of near hysteria quivering inside me. Are these eruptions the beginning of the cataclysm that Greenbaum had predicted? Was the ground beneath me going to open up and swallow me in boiling magma? Get away, a voice in my aching head screamed. Get the fuck out of here and back to safety. Not without the pod, I muttered grimly.
What?
Marguerite asked instantly.
What did you say?
Nothing, I snapped. I'm going to be too busy to talk with you for a while.
Yes, I understand. I'll monitor your frequency in case you need anything.
Like what? I asked silently. Prayers? Last rites? I nudged the thruster pedal to lift off the ground enough so I could make my way back to the wreckage. Nothing happened. I pushed harder against the bar. The ship still wouldn't move. I could hear the thrusters whining, but no motion. Taking a deep breath, I considered what choices I had. I punched the ballast release and felt a clunk rattle through the ship as a block of the heat-absorbing alloy was ejected from its bay. That lightened the ship, but it cut down on the time I could stay on the surface without burning to a crisp. I tried the thrusters again. The ship quivered but did not rise off the ground. Is something holding me down? I wondered. Something slithered over the ship's hull. I could hear it, sliding, scratching across the metal skin above me. The sound made me shudder with fright. This was no time for half measures. Either I got away from here or I fried, and pretty soon, too. So I stamped on the thruster pedal with both boots, really pushed it hard. The thrusters suddenly howled, and Hecate lurched up off the ground and wobbled into the air a good 100 meters. I fought madly to get control of her. For a moment I thought she would flip over onto her back and nosedive into the ground. But Hecate came through. My fingers played madly across her control pads, and she responded, straightened out, and pointed her nose toward the wreckage once again. When we settled down on the rocks, I saw that Hecate tilted badly over on her left, as if the landing skid on that side had been crushed or ripped away. No matter, I thought, as long as the hull is still intact. I had put her down alongside Alex's escape pod. Now I had to slide my blistered fingers back into those damnable Waldos and get the manipulators working again. I did it, although the pain forced tears from my eyes. I made the metal pincers firmly grip the handholds on the escape pod's surface, locked them on, and then gratefully withdrew my fingers from the Waldos. For a few moments I simply lay there, awash in perspiration, my fingers sizzling with pain. I pictured myself swimming in the Arctic Ocean, playing among ice floes. My hands still hurt. I should have pulled my gloves back on. That would have been the smart thing to do, the cautious, safety-minded thing to do. But my scorched hands burned too much even to consider it. I've got the pod, I reported, and I'm ready to lift. For a heart-stopping moment, there was no reply. Then Marguerite's voice came through.
The captain estimates we'll be in place above you in 10 minutes.
I let out an inadvertent whistle. They must have been blown a long way off position. I'm lifting now, I said. I'll hover at 2 kilometers altitude until you give the order for rendezvous. A much longer delay before she answered. I had no desire to stay down on the surface a nanosecond longer than I had to. Fuchs's voice came on.
Okay, but keep below 2 clicks. The last thing we want is a mid-air collision.
Agreed, I said. But I thought, no, the last thing I want is to be stuck down here in this oven. Trying to use my fingernails on the control pads to avoid touching them with my seared skin, I began to set up the ship's controls for liftoff. Then my eye caught something strange, as if anything in this landscape of hell wasn't strange. But some of those lines on the wreckage had moved again. I was certain of it. In fact, as I stared goggle-eyed, one of them rose up off the wreckage and waved in the air like an impossibly thin arm beckoning for help. And then another. And another.
They're alive! I screeched.
What?
Look, I babbled. Look at them! Arms, tentacles, feelers! Whatever they are, they're alive!
Marguerite said, We're barely close enough to see you and the wreck. What are you talking about?
Look at the camera imagery, damn it!
It's grainy. The picture's breaking up too much.
I tried to calm down and describe what I was seeing. The arms, if that's what they were all up and waving slowly back and forth in the sluggish current of thick, hot air.
There can't be anything alive down there, Marguerite insisted. The heat...
Put your telescopes on them, I yelled. All your sensors, they're alive, damn it. Probably the main body lives deep underground, but it sends feelers, antennas, something up to the surface.
It's hotter underground than it is on the surface, Fuchs growled.
I see them!
Marguerite's voice jumped an octave higher.
I can see them!
What are they doing? I wondered aloud. Why are they waving around like that?
They weren't doing that before the tidal wave passed through?
Marguerite asked. No, they were lying on the ground. Most of them were draped over the wreckage.
And now they've raised themselves.
Her voice trailed off. I had forgotten about lifting the ship, staring out the port and watching something that should have been impossible. Was there some other explanation? Could they be something that isn't living?
Feeding tubes, Marguerite said at last. Perhaps they're taking in nutrients carried in the air from the volcanic eruption.
But why here? Why haven't we seen them anywhere else on the planet? I asked.
We haven't looked this closely at any other area on the surface, she replied.
They were draped across the wreckage, I recalled.
The bugs up in the clouds ate metal ions, said Marguerite.
Like vitamins.
You said they needed the metal ions the way we need vitamins.
And maybe this underground organism also needs metallic ions, she said.
It sensed the wreckage. We were jumping to conclusions, I knew in the back of my mind, but they seemed to fit what we were seeing.
Is the pod marked in any way?
She asked, her voice rising again with excitement.
Any scars where the feeding tubes might have been eating on the metal?
Before I could look, Fuchs's voice came through, dry and cold.
You have exactly 7 minutes' worth of alloy left. Play at being a biologist once you're back up here, Humphreys.
That was like being doused in cold water. Right, I said. I'm starting liftoff procedure now. After all, I had the pod in my grip, and Marguerite must have every sensor aboard Lucifer focused on those feeding arms or whatever they were. Time to get back to safety. I quickly scanned the control panel one more time, then pushed on the thruster pedal. The engines whined into life. The ship shuddered, but didn't budge 1 centimeter off the ground.
Captured.
I'm stuck!
Inside the helmet, my voice sounded like a terrified shriek.
What do you mean, stuck? Fuchs demanded.
Stuck! I hollered. The goddamn ship isn't moving!
Wait. The telemetry shows everything functioning okay, he said. Thrusters on full.
But I'm not moving.
Silence from Lucifer. I pressed both boots against that damnable thruster bar. I really kicked it hard, again and again. The thrusters growled and Hecate shuddered, but I didn't budge off the ground. How many minutes were left for the heat rejection system? When the alloy ran out, the heat inside the cockpit would build up and cook me within minutes.
All your telemetry checks out, Fuchs said, an edge in his voice.
Fine, I retorted.
Then why doesn't the ship move? We're trying to get the telescopes on you. It's not easy. That damned tidal wave is still making the air turbulent up at this level.
For a mad instant, I thought I might crawl out of Hecate and get into the escape pod that was still lodged in the manipulator arms and use its escape rockets to blast off into orbit. Great plan, I said to myself.
If your suit could keep you alive outside the ship, which it can't, and if you could get into the pod before you roast to death, which you couldn't, and if the pod's escape rockets worked, which they probably wouldn't.
Well, I shouted, what are you doing up there? Marguerite replied,
we have you on screen now.
Her voice was shaky. She sounded as if she were on the verge of tears.
And? I demanded. Fuchs said, 4 of those feeding arms are wrapped around Hecate. They must be holding you down.
I don't know what I said. It must have been atrocious because Fuchs snapped,
calm down. Hysteria won't help.
Calm down, I screeched. I'm trapped here. They're feeding on the ship.
You've tried full power, Fuchs asked.
What do you think I'm doing down here? I raged. Of course I've applied full power.
They're holding you down, Marguerite stated the obvious.